Tim Whatley. When I got the role of dentist Tim Whatley, dentist to the stars, I was already a big Seinfeld fan, and I was thrilled that I'd get to play a small part in one of the best comedy shows of all time. Seinfeld was revolutionary, really, in that instead of breaking down the storylines into A plot and B plots, major and minor stories, each episode gave all four main characters a narrative, and somehow all of the stories intersected. Most other shows used guest stars to inject an element of humor. Seinfeld used guest stars to facilitate and spotlight the show's stars, a superb construct. The first episode I did was called The Mom and Pop Store, which was kind of an homage to Midnight Cowboy. Tim is having a party on the Upper West Side, and Jerry isn't invited. Or is he? Jerry can't tell. George Costanza, meanwhile, buys a used car he thinks might belong to John Voight, the actor. George is really getting off on the romance and glamour of driving around in a car that belonged to a celebrity. But Jerry plants a seed of doubt in George's mind about the provenance of the Chrysler LeBaron. Did it really belong to John Voight? Then George finds a pencil in the glove box. It has teeth marks. Kramer tells George, if you take the pencil to Tim Whatley's party, you'll find a dentist who can match the teeth marks to John Voight's bite. Did I mention that John Voight had recently bitten Kramer on the arm? As luck would have it, Tim knows John Voight. George exults in his good fortune, but then Tim continues, John Voight, the periodontist. Seinfeld has become a touchstone for so many people. Seinfeld superfans who have seen every episode umpteen times roam the streets, and when they see me, invariably shout out, Whatley! Or as Seinfeld would say, Whatley. Many people think my recurring presence on the show was part of some grand plan. In fact, I appeared in only 6 episodes, and each one was, for all I knew, the last time I'd be on. Working on the show, I got to see Jerry Seinfeld's legendary comedic genius up close. His knowledge of comedy is unmatched. Several times he'd tell me to adjust a joke here or there, and wham, the moment was transformed from pedestrian to uproariously funny. But all the major players on the show were brilliant. Going to work was like attending an intensive comedy seminar. Larry David, the co-creator, an incredible comedian, never put characters first. It was always story first. Then find characters that suited the story. What if Kramer was mistaken for a mentally challenged person? He's drunk. No. What if he's just come from the dentist? He's got a mouthful of Novocaine. Let's bring Tim Whatley back. Thus was born a classic episode called The Jimmy. Jerry had a riff about jokes. If you're in the group, you can make the joke. If you're not in the group, steer clear. So Larry David and Jerry said, we need someone waspy who gets under Jerry's skin to convert to Judaism and abuse the in-group privilege. Whatley. Tim converts to Judaism and immediately starts making Jewish jokes. When Jerry looks at him askance, Tim says, Jerry, it's our sense of humor that sustained us as a people for 3,000 years. Jerry sneers, 5,000. Tim, 5,000, even better. Okay, Chrissy, give me a shtickle of fluoride. The fact that Tim had been Jewish for a few days and he was already telling Jewish jokes offends Jerry, but not as a Jew. No, it offends me as a comedian! Hilarious. In a famous sequence from The Jimmy, Jerry is distressed to see that Whatley has Penthouse magazines scattered in his waiting room. It's a dentist's office! Then, with Jerry in the chair, Tim says that his regular hygienist is at Dr. Sussman's office. We find it fun to swap now and then, Tim says saucily, sleazily. Later, as Jerry wakes from the laughing gas, he has a sense that his hygienist and Whatley have molested him. Was his shirt untucked before he went under? He can't remember. Between the Penthouse magazines and the untucked shirt, Jerry suspects that Whatley is a dental Caligula. We rehearsed that scene, and then the other actors went on to do another scene. I stayed behind to get comfortable in the dentist's office set. An electrician on a ladder was adjusting a light, and he called down, Hey, you know what would be funny? I was a bit confused. Was he talking to me? What? I asked. It would be funny if before you put the laughing gas mask on Jerry, you took a hit off it yourself. I thought about it, and I realized he was right. It came time to shoot the scene. We were rolling, and I said, Cheryl, would you ready the nitrous oxide, please? She handed me the mask, and I brought it up to my face and took a healthy hit. Jerry fell over laughing. Larry David was beside himself with joy. We did a ton of takes. The director, Andy Ackerman, kept saying, Jerry, you cannot laugh. But every time I took a hit off the mask, Jerry lost it. And then everyone else had to laugh. Finally, we got one take where Jerry wasn't sliding out of the chair. That's the one we used. That's the only take in which he didn't lose control. In the end, when everyone was telling me what a great idea the nitrous hit had been, I pointed out the electrician who told me to try it. Everyone turned to see who it was. The electrician shrugged sheepishly. You never know who's going to give you the gift of a good idea.